Luke chapter 12, going to be looking at verses today, 1 through 12. And why don't we pray? Father, how we thank you, Lord, for this morning. And Lord, we as we settle down, Lord, our hearts and our minds to get into your word, Lord, help us to receive it. There is so much going on around us, Lord. Every morning, every day, our minds get filled. Maybe even in a conversation we just had with somebody here as we stood and greeted. And so, Lord, we pray you would help us now just to relax and to rest and to get our focus on you, Lord, and what you have for us this morning. Because, God, you've brought us here for a reason, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to instruct us. And, Lord, I believe for many to challenge us. And so I ask now that you would open your word to us. I pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would come upon us with your Holy Spirit, that we might be sensitive to you, Lord, and have the mind of Christ, even as your word says. And, Lord, now that you would just teach us, Lord. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 12, Jesus, again, getting into this section, a lot of things we're going to be looking at. But, you know, the main theme, if there was a theme for today, it's just be real. And that is, there's one thing about Jesus is when he came to the earth, Jesus was real. There was nothing phony. There was nothing fake. There was no show. There was no entertainment. You know, I came out of an entertainment background. I wasn't that good of an entertainer, and so that's why I didn't go very far. But I still came out of an entertainment background. And having that type of personality, your job is to be someone that other people want to see or be around, at least when you're on stage, whether it's doing music or whether it's doing whatever it might be. Your job is to try to entertain them. Your job is to try to do something for them to make them happy. And so the last thing you want to do oftentimes is be completely you, because you know if they see you for real, they're not going to be that happy. And I don't mean that in a bad way. There's a lot of personalities that you do just like to be around. But guys, with much of entertainment, and I've seen this firsthand because I've been involved on the acting end of it and I've been involved on the music end of it in the early years. And the thing that I've seen is what you have in that industry is you have a lot of fakes and a lot of phonies. You have people that can turn the click on and they'll give you what you want. And then when the click goes off and they leave the stage, now you've got reality and it's not exactly somebody you'd want to be around. Now, again, I'm not saying all entertainers. There are different personalities and different people in all fields. But guys, the thing is, hypocrisy is rampant in the entertainment industry. Trying to be one person that you're not really. And you know what? Hypocrisy is also rampant, I would say, in American society. And maybe there's some even here today that are struggling with it and haven't even identified what it was. And that is simply this. Trying to be somebody you're not when certain people are around. The greatest freedom that you'll ever gain is just being yourself no matter where you are. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, if you get up in front of people, you know, if I'm going to get up Sunday morning and teach, I want to make sure that I have, you know, look appropriate and that I act appropriate and that you conduct yourself in a proper way in dealing with people. That's not what I'm saying. That's not hypocrisy. That's simply being appropriate. That's simply using tact. That's simply leaving the door open to reach people. If you're sharing the gospel, you want to make sure that you don't cut ears off so that people can hear what you're having to say. And that's especially important for the person who does the crusade. You see a Billy Graham or a Greg Laurie or these guys, Louis Palau, who do these crusades. There's a certain way they have to conduct themselves in order to reach the masses. That's not hypocrisy. That's wisdom and tact. And that is putting yourself in a place where you can reach people. Guys, hypocrisy is being somebody you totally are not when you're around certain people. That's hypocrisy. And guys, in our hearts, when we've done that, we know it. We've all done that from time. Growing up, from the time we became a child to an adult, we've all tried to do that. Maybe it was on the playground with some kids. You know, you wanted to fit in. You wanted to be cool. You wanted to act cool. And you can only act cool so long. If you're not, they figure it out. But you want to try to be whatever it is you think that your buds want you to be or the people want you to be. And guys, listen, oftentimes in the body of Christ, people show up on Sunday morning trying to be what they think everyone wants them to be. And they're not real. And the Lord is going to deal with that today. He's saying, listen, hypocrisy is something that really turns the Lord off, so to speak. And guys, it's something that when we recognize, it turns us off as well, but especially the Lord, because he knows the truth from beginning to end. The Lord wants you to be yourself. He made you who you are. He made you how you are. Now, let me say this. Let me give this balance. When I say be yourself, what I mean is, if God's given you a sense of humor, use it. God has given me a sense of humor. You know, I'm not that funny, but from time to time, God brings humor out, whether it's in the teaching or whether it's in my life. Sometimes it brings a groan from you guys. But then again, the Bible says we're groaning in spirit, so I feel like we're staying biblical there, and that's all right. See how sometimes the stuff comes out, the bad stuff. The point is, guys, is be yourself. It doesn't mean being disrespectful. It doesn't mean being dishonoring of the Lord or God's word. It doesn't mean anything other than be who you are and use all the gifts and all the talents that God has given you to be the maximum you can for Jesus Christ. And to reach as many as you can that are lost and to spread the gospel, to be who you are. Now, that's the good side of it. Obviously, the bad side is now you don't want to show up on Sunday mornings and come in or get around people and always whine. You know, everybody's got problems. The last thing we want is people that come in, and every time they come in, they're whining or they're moping or they're crying or they're drooping their head or something's always wrong. I believe that's just as wrong as being a hypocrite. Because what that does is that drags everyone else down in the dumps with you. The Bible says we have a certain responsibility to get our eyes off of ourselves, off of our problems, and get them onto Christ. Guys, I have the mopey days as much as anybody else. We all have those days we just feel like moping. You know, we just feel bad. You know, we don't want to feel good. And sometimes we want to bring others down. Ever been there? You want that. If you're down, they're coming down too, you know? And they might be having a good day, and you're like, what's so good about your day, you know? This is what's happening in mine, you know? And again, what's the focus? Guys, we know what it is. It's self, isn't it? When I'm down and I want to bring, you know, it's self. I'm focused on self. But here's what I've learned. And I had one of these days last week just focusing on self, just moping. And you know what? God begins to speak to the heart and say, look, you've got your eyes in the wrong place. No wonder you're down, you know? You know, if I focused on you, I'd get down too, the Lord might say, you know? To me. I mean, good grief. No, focus on me, the Lord would say. Get your eyes on Christ. And it's amazing how spending some time in worship, spending some time in prayer, getting your eyes on the Lord, it pulls you out of the doldrums. It doesn't take all your problems away. It doesn't mean that suddenly your personality is going to change. It just means that God will lift your spirit. And you can be used to lift other people's spirit rather than bringing it down. So there's a balance there. There's being real, and yet there's not being, you know, so much so that you come in and you pull everybody down all the time. We need to pray for a certain balance there. I remember one man saying that by the time you hit 40, you're responsible for how your face looks every day. Up to that age, we'll cut your grace. You're learning. You're maturing. But by the time you hit 40, you realize that when that face goes out, it's going to affect people it runs into, whether it's mopey or whether it's up. I mean, that's just part of it. Again, that's not being fake. That's being responsible. That's getting your eyes on the Lord. That's being an encourager to others. Guys, hypocrisy, again, is playing this whole game, and you know what it is. It's when you show up to church and praise the Lord, praise hallelujah. You've got all the, you know, Christianese down. The whole package is in place, and yet, you know what? You get in the car, you scream at your wife. Or you scream at your kids, or everybody's miserable. They make jokes about, not being a preacher's kid, I grew up around this, they say preacher's kids are the worst. I don't know if that's true, but I've seen lots of preacher's kids that are bad, and I want to tell you one of the reasons I think it happens. And that is oftentimes for the pastor's kid or for anyone that has a parent in ministry. If the parent is acting like someone different in front of the people than they are behind closed doors, you become sarcastic. And you begin to think, you know what? If that's what religion is, if that's Christianity, if that's what I don't want that. I can do that. I can be fake in the world and have more fun. Why be fake at church and not have fun? Because now I don't have to get to go out and do the things I want to do. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it's more fun in the world. I'm saying for the unbeliever, that's their viewpoint. You take an unbelieving preacher's kid or somebody else like I was for 25 years. Why would I want to pretend to be somebody I'm not with a bunch of other people who are pretending they're somebody they're not when I go out in the world and everybody else just do what they want and be who they are? How much better to be in the church and be who you are and let people see the glory of God in your life and let people see the realness. I'm not saying that means that you don't have bad days. I'm not saying that means that you don't have times, you know, where you don't get in an argument, whether it's with your wife or with your kids or you raise your voice and you wish you had. No, that's not hypocrisy. That's life. Hypocrisy is pretending that this is really how you are, but in reality, you are not that way. I am convinced the Lord would rather have you just be real, warts and all, and say, I need your help. I'm a mess. I'm not going to pretend to be together. I'm not going to pretend that I've got this. I'm not going to play games. Here I am. Help me. I'm going to get my eyes on you. I'm going to get them off of me so that I'm not just focusing in on self. And we're in a society that's absorbed with self. But I'm going to get my eyes on you, Lord, and off of me, because you said if I'm going to follow you, I've got to die to self, take up my cross and follow. So I choose to do that. I don't feel like it. But I'm going to take my feelings, wad them up like a piece of paper, throw them out in the backyard and stomp on them. And I'm choosing to get my eyes on you. I'm choosing to worship. I'm choosing to get in the word. I'm choosing to praise. And God, I'm trusting in you to change my heart. And guys, God is faithful. If you've ever done that, you'll see that he's faithful. He's the one that's responsible to do that. But again, just being real, being who you are. I think hypocrisy is a big problem in the church today. It's expected in the world, but in the church, it's tragic. We need to be the same people we are here Sunday morning that we are at home. Again, we're not going to always conduct ourselves the same way. We all know that in the sense of being more relaxed and having those situations. And we're oftentimes much more restrained when we allow our temper to flare. We wouldn't do it here. But again, that's just getting control of the flesh. That's not hypocrisy. I'm talking about be who you are. Be the same person at church on Calvary Chapel Sunday morning, same person as you are when you go home with your kids, as you are when you go to work with warts and all. Be the same person, but turn your eyes toward the Lord. Moms and dads, if you want your kids to walk away from Christianity when they get old enough to make their own decisions and leave home, be two people in front of them. Be somebody on Sunday morning and then go home and be somebody else. Because when your kids see that, they're going to say, you know what? This is all fake. This isn't real. Because they don't have the opportunity to see the other people that it is real in. All they see is mom and dad. And so we as mom and dad have to say, you know what? I'm going to make it real. You know what, kids? My life's not perfect. I'm not always going to smile. I have bad days. There's moments I have. I realize that. I'm made of flesh and blood. I am weak. I am a sinner. But you know what? I'm who I am. And here I am. And here we go. And I'm not going to try to be somebody that I'm not. Well, see, that really hits home coming from the entertainment background. Because in the entertainment background, your job is to do that. Your job is to entertain, is to make people happy. But guys, there's the greatest place of freedom you could ever have as a believer is being just able just to be yourself. Just relax. It's okay. You know, maybe you're not Mr. or Mrs. Cultured. Maybe you do feel uncomfortable around certain types of people. Just be yourself. Use as much tact as you can. Try not to offend people, but don't be fake. Don't be phony. And God says, I'll bless that. Really, that's kind of what the main thing we're going to be looking at today. Now, what is the definition of hypocrisy? Well, we've already said it, really. It's looking one way, but in reality, being another. Acting, which is really the word to use, acting one way, but in reality, being another. How many times have you heard people say, well, I want to go to church, but I'm not going to go because what? It's full of hypocrites. Now, guys, sometimes that's just a cop-out. Let me just say that. Sometimes that is the person who says, I'm not going to church, and I'm going to look for an excuse. What would be a good one? Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, I know what it is. People are human. Sometimes they mess up. Sometimes they sin. Sometimes some of them are hypocritical. That's why I'm not going to church. It's full of hypocrites. Guys, let me give balance to that. First of all, let me say I agree the church should not be full of hypocrites in the sense of true Christians living in hypocrisy. But if you take an unbeliever who's a hypocrite, where's the best place they should be? In the church. They need Christ. They need to be hearing about the fact they're being a hypocrite, and they need to repent. So I think sometimes it's just a cop-out that people try to use. But I think sometimes it's a legitimate concern because people really are hypocrites. Jesus hates hypocrisy. He loves the sinner. He hates hypocrisy. I would rather have a drunk on the street tell me that they know they're a drunk, they know their life's messed up, they know they need help, than to have somebody who's all cleaned up and hair's combed properly and the right outfit on Sunday morning really living a double life and saying, you know what, my life's great and I'm doing good and praise the Lord. I think God is more pleased with the person who says, my life is a mess, it stinks, I'm a mess, somebody help me, than the person who pretends to be all together and really they're a phony, they're a fake. And so the Lord deals with hypocrisy really heavy. It's interesting where the term comes from. We've said this before and we need some background here before we get into it. Don't worry, we'll actually get to the word. But guys, where does it come from? Well, back in the days of Jesus, the Romans and the Greeks, they had theater everywhere, just like we do today, but they didn't have movies and all that. They had theaters, and they had actors in the theaters, and rather than acting with their face and all that, they would have masks backstage. And so if it was a happy scene, they would run backstage, they would get their happy face, put it on, come back out, and they're all happy, right? And they just were there. But now the scene changes. Now they're sad. They go backstage, take that mask off, put on the sad face, come out. Now they're all just sad, where it might be, you know. And that's the face. Guys, it's the word hypocritis in the Greek is where that comes from, that mask. It was a mask that they put on, and it's where we get the word. It's very logical. Hypocrite. Hypocritis, it comes from that word. The mask that the actors in Greek stage would wear during their performances. Guys, what a picture that makes to us today. You see, when the Lord used this, they knew exactly what he meant. When he said the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers, when he said they were hypocrites, everybody realized, whoa, he's saying these guys are, see, today we know that word means that. Back then, it wasn't used that way. These guys are stage actors. They're pretending. They've got on their religious face today. Now let's turn in our Bible to Luke chapter 12. Has you ever seen people do that? I have to be real careful on that because that, you know, if I've ever met somebody that's out of the pulpit, and they act real, real different and talk real, real different than when they get in, I've got a problem with that. I'm not saying you don't have a certain demeanor before people. Don't get me wrong. Again, there's that you're ministering, you're reaching, you're sharing. But when I see people that act one way in a certain place and act different, I have to go, are you being real here? Why are you acting so different when you're standing up to share the word of God than you do when I talk to you in the hall? Now, the word of God, yes, needs to be dealt with honor and respect and reverence, and there's a proper attitude and atmosphere. But what do you like in your home? What do you like in your car? What do you like everywhere else? Again, I'm not speaking perfection. I'm speaking being real. Just be real. And so that's where the term comes from. He was telling these guys, and you remember the setting and the scene. These guys, they were being actors. They were pretending to be somebody they weren't. Oh, they acted religious. They had their robes they wore, their turbans on their head. Remember, a bunch of them showed up to John the Baptist down there at the river. And I love John because John was a guy that was real. And John was a guy that was to the point. He looks at him and says, hey, bunch of snakes. I'm putting it in modern day language. He says, you bunch of snakes. Who warned you about the judgment to come? In other words, I'm on to you. You know, the people here, they don't realize that you're putting on a show. They think you really are walking with God. They think you really are holy. They think you really do love the Lord. I know you love yourself. I know you're fake. I know you're phony. I know you're a pretender. And I know that you're coming down here to get baptized by me because it seems like the religious thing to do. It seems righteous. He said, you know what? God's going to chop you guys down if you don't repent. He says, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. You're done. And so he says, be real. Now, again, I'm sure that didn't go over very well with them. But remember, you know, Jesus, again, did the same thing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I read an article yesterday. I've got to share this with you. This proprietor of a French restaurant, he caught on to this. He caught on to how successful a hypocrite you can be when it comes to tricking people. And so what he did was he made money out of it. Listen to what the article said. The proprietor of a French restaurant has come up with a gimmick that has doubled his clientele in a matter of weeks. When a fellow comes in with a girl, a smiling waiter hands each an ornate menu. They look alike, both menus, but the one given to the man has the genuine prices listed for each item, while his lady friend has a copy that shows the same dishes at fictitious and highly inflated prices. The escort orders, and the girl is dumbstruck at his nonchalant generosity. I mean, he gets this thing, it's like, you know, $10.95 or whatever. It says it's like, you know, $50 a plate, you know, for, wow, you know, whatever you want, just order it off the menu. But this is $85. That's, get it, doesn't matter, it's really $15. And so the girl's like, wow, this guy, boy, he really cares about me. So they're all fake. And this guy, this restaurant owner, is in cahoots with him. Now, I have to figure, the girl's going to figure that out. The women, that's going to get around. How are you going to do that and it not get around? But guys, can you imagine if a guy's pretending like he's spending all this money on his date and she finds out it's like, you know, $12.95 for both of them, that included tip? You know? Again, if you can find that deal, nothing wrong in it. But the point is, it's fake. She thinks he spent $150. You know, whatever. Guys, that's exactly what was happening. Remember last week with the Sadducees and Pharisees? That's exactly what they were doing. Guys, our goal is to be the exact opposite of hypocrisy. That is no acting. That is no acting. You know what? It's okay to say, you know, I'm not very good at that. You know, sometimes I have bad days. Sometimes I have messages that really connect with you guys. Sometimes you guys leave thinking, whoa, let's pray for Mark this week. You know, what's going on? Guys, but let's just be real. Our goal is the opposite of hypocrisy. Be who you are and just let the Lord take care of the details. You know, and again, why do we do the hypocritical thing? I believe it's just a desire to fit in, a desire to be accepted, a desire to be important, a desire to be somebody we're not. We want to please man. And see, the Lord today is going to deal with that. He's going to say, it's not about pleasing man. It's about pleasing God. Our goal should not be to please man. And you know, we all have those struggles. I've had the same struggles myself. You want certain people to like you or whatever, or to make a good impression. And again, in the proper context, there's nothing wrong in that. But again, when it becomes a hypocritical thing, then it's wrong. It all boils down to a fear of man. And the Bible says the fear of man is a snare. It leads us astray. Now, remember the setting from last week before we get into it. Guys, what was it? Jesus had been asked to dinner by this Pharisee. Now, get the picture. Here's a bunch of play actors. If you want to really see it the way Jesus did, here's a bunch of religious leaders around a table, and they all had on their hypocrites, their mask. They'd put it on. Now, not literally, but you know what I mean. It was there. And they've all got on their religious mask. And these were big events. When the Pharisees asked someone special, a special rabbi, to dinner, see, it was an outdoor event in a courtyard. They would open the courtyard up of their homes, the rooms surrounded it, kind of in a horseshoe shape with the gate in the front. And there was the table, and all the people would sit there, and the Pharisees would sit there, and you were allowed to come in and observe the meal. Note that. Why were you allowed to come in and observe the meal? Well, because those at the table were so high and lofty. They were so full of great wisdom. And so you wanted to come and learn. And maybe it was really someone that you wanted to learn from. And I think there's good and great advantage to watching others that have gone before us to learn and to see the proper way to do things, whether it be etiquette in certain areas or whatever it might be. But here's the scene. They invite Jesus. He sits down, and there's all these guys with all these masks around the table. And there's just the Lord just being real. Here I am. What you see is what you get. Ever heard that term? That was Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord wants us to be. What you see is what you get. So what you see is what you get. And Jesus Christ is sitting at the table, and he's looking at these guys. And what's interesting to me is he gives them an opportunity. He didn't just light into them. He waited until they started doing their acting thing. And all these people are gathered around, and they do this acting thing. We saw it last week, pretending to be somebody they're not. And the Lord begins to say, you know what? Because remember, he didn't wash his hands the proper religious way. God's word didn't say you had to do that. But these guys, this is how their denomination did it. And if you didn't do it the way their denomination or their non-denomination, we'll include us in that. If you didn't do it the way their church did it, somehow you were in sin. You were wrong. And so they would sit around and they watched the Lord, and the Lord sat down and they're like, well, look at him. He didn't wash his hands. And you could imagine, no. And the Lord just sitting there thinking, you bunch of phonies, bunch of hypocrites. You know what, you guys, I love you guys, but your hypocrisy makes me sick. That would be what the Lord would say. And so the Lord deals with it. And sometimes, again, he dealt very gently. And sometimes when he dealt with these guys, he dealt very firmly. Why? Because it took a firm approach to reach a firm and hard heart. And so the Lord, again, jumps in and calls them. He says, he nails them. You saw it last week. Foolish ones, wicked. You know, he tells them you're pretending to be clean on the outside, but your inside is full of dead man's bones. You're walking tombs. You know, he goes on with the lawyers. He says, well, you're offending us. He goes, well, same thing with you guys. You know, you're making burdens hard for people to bear. That is the experts in the law. Is what they called the lawyers back then. He says, you're not doing it yourself. He said, you're a bunch of phonies. Now, there's the scene. Now, think about the gallery of people watching these rabbis with this famous rabbi sitting down to eat, and the word starts to spread. Guys, people didn't talk to these guys that way. People called them rabbi, rabbi, doctor, doctor, whatever. They call them these names, you know, the most holy whatever. You just didn't speak to them that way. And here Jesus is nailing it and saying, you know what? You guys need to repent. You got a real problem going on here, and you need to deal with it. And I love Jesus. You know, we get this picture oftentimes of Jesus being this kind of weak and kind of milly kind of whatever. And I'm not saying that he was rude, and I'm not saying he was any of that, but he was a man's man. When Jesus dealt with you, you knew you were dealt with. And he said it like it was. And he began to lay it out with these guys. The Bible speaks of him having his forehead set like flint when he was called by the Father to do what he was called to do. And you know what you do when you strike flint? What happens? Sparks come off. It's not unloving. But guys, it's this firm face saying, you know what? I know what's going on in your hearts. You're phonies. You need to repent. You're all fake. And so now the gallery, can you imagine? The people that have been watching all these people see in their heart, they knew these guys were phonies. But they knew something wasn't right. And all of a sudden this young rabbi comes up and he's got the guts to stand to these guys. Did you hear what he said? Did you hear that? What he said to the Pharisees? They would never say that. Because they know they would get kicked out of their church. They would get excommunicated from their society. And guys, to get kicked out of your church back then was more than just not having your church to go to. You couldn't get a job in that town. You would lose your job. So they didn't dare do this thing to these guys. When they dealt with them, they were very, oh yes, you know, whatever. We're phony or not, we're going to play the game. Yes, that's right. Jesus said, you know, I'm not playing your game. I see what you're like. I know what's going on. Well, man, this started to happen. The crowd said, hey, this is something. And the crowd begins to gather now. People begin to hear what's going on. This young rabbi rebuking these high and mighty fake religious leaders that everybody's afraid of. And all of a sudden the crowd begins to get larger and larger. And in my mind, I see the high fives going on. Now, again, I know there weren't really high fives. They were probably chest bumping. But no, they probably weren't chest bumping. Hey, you know, did you hear what he said to him? Yeah, you know. But the point is that they were realizing, you know what? This man right here is real. And he's speaking things that are piercing my heart. And you know what? I'm tired of people. And maybe some of them are going, I've been phony. Oh yeah, they're phony. But you know what? I like the fact that he's real because I need this. I need to hear this. I'm being convicted about my phoniness, about being fake. And the thing about Jesus, you could just be yourself around him. You could just be yourself. You didn't have to try to be anybody special. Nobody was afraid of Jesus. Children ran up to him. Nobody was intimidated. And that's exactly how the Lord wants us to be here. That's the setting. And so notice what happens. He just finished rebuking these guys. They're attacking him back. The crowd is growing because word is spreading that this young rabbi is rebuking these high and mighty religious leaders. And look at chapter 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, this was a huge crowd, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now notice this, interesting, while rebuking the religious leaders, this big crowd gathers up so much they're crushing each other. But who does Jesus turn to first? Now note this, I find that interesting. It's just a side note, a side footnote in there. You might slip by turning to his disciples. You see, Jesus was always concerned about his disciples first and foremost. What do you mean? Guys, the disciples are the ones who are truly committed and have ears to hear. And some of you this morning are disciples. Maybe some of you are not. The point is that the ones that have the ears to hear what the Lord has to say and they will respond to the voice of the Lord, that's a true disciple. The Lord turns to them. There's this huge crowd gathering. Much of this crowd will not receive this. They're just excited because the Pharisees are getting rebuked. They're not here because they want to change their heart. They're here because, it's something they've never seen before. And something they want to attend. But notice the Lord here, he knows those who will listen. He knows those who have an ear. And he knows this morning, those of you right now who have an ear to hear what he's saying. And he says right here, he turns to his disciples first. He wants them to get this lesson. And guys, if he wants them to get the lesson, he wants us to get it. Notice the lesson. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now guys, beware. The word means constantly on guard. That's what it means. Constantly on your guard. Why? Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Guys, leaven in scripture represents evil. It represents sin. It represents false teaching. That's what leaven represents. And what they would do with leaven, why was it a representation of that? Because here's how they would make their bread. They would get a little bit of leaven, just a little bit. And they would stick that leaven into the dough that was unleavened. And guess what would happen very rapidly? The entire piece of dough would become leavened. And guys, what's interesting, what the Lord is saying is, if you don't be on guard against a little bit of hypocrisy in your life, my disciples, I'm not talking to the Pharisees right now, I'm talking to my disciples, the church. I'm saying this, if you don't watch your heart, you see what's happened to these guys? You're going to be the same way. You're going to fall into the same trap because it doesn't take but a little bit of being phony, it doesn't take but a little bit of being fake, and it permeates your entire being. Guys, it's interesting, the leavening process, what it does, it's actually a rotting or decaying process. When it begins to rot and decay is when it becomes leaven. So you take that rotting and decaying and put it in something that's not rotting and decaying, and what happens? It all becomes rotted and decayed. And what's interesting to me, interesting too, when leaven is what makes the bread rise. It's what makes the bread, puff up. Guys, what happens when you get filled with yourself? What happens when you let hypocrisy come in? What happens when you try to be someone that you're not? You begin to pretend and you begin to let pride come in and you begin to get puffed up, you know? The Lord is giving a warning, not just to the disciples, but to us this morning. He's saying, listen, guard yourself, because in another place we're told a little leaven will leaven the entire lump. And so he says, you guys are going to get rotted just like these guys are. Listen to me. Beware of it. Be constantly on your guard. Hypocrisy is something to take very, very seriously. And I want to say this morning, if you're dealing with hypocrisy, if God's dealing in your heart right now saying, you know what, I'm not really being real here. I'm pretending to be somebody I'm not. Guys, it's time to get real. Guys, make sure that you're real. Make sure that you do know what, you know, that people that are closest to you, they should really see who you are and they know whether you're not. And maybe you're convicted this morning. Let God deal with it. It's time to lay the hypocrisy down and say, you know what? I want to be real. I really want to be the person that I'm pretending to be. And notice he says here in verse 2, and this is intimidating, guys. Note this. For there is nothing covered, I have that underlined, that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. This is a very intimidating and scary statement if you don't know Jesus Christ. Guys, notice this. How much will be revealed of your life? Everything. How much will be hidden? Nothing. When is that going to happen? The Bible says in other places on Judgment Day. Guys, there is a day we will all stand before God. Judgment Day. Everyone in this room, you can't escape it. Sorry. Believer, non-believer, want to, don't want to. The Bible says you will stand before God alone. And if you know Jesus Christ, no problems. If you don't know Jesus Christ, everything you've ever done will not only be revealed before the Lord and you be reminded of it, but guys, guess what? Everyone else is going to be there at Judgment Day as well. You'll be there before the Lord at your turn, but the Bible says we'll all be gathered there before the throne of God. What does that mean? That means family, friends, saved and unsaved, kings, queens, presidents, and Jesus is going to tell us in just a moment, even the holy angels. Guys, you're going to have quite the audience. And everything you've ever done, if you think it's hidden and no one will ever know, guess who's all going to find out that moment? Everyone in this room. Everyone in this room right now is going to see you completely exposed of all you've ever done, before the Lord and the holy angels and everyone else coming someday soon, coming to a theater near you, and you're going to be on the stage. And there's not going to be a place for acting at that time. There's not going to be any masks anybody can put on because the Lord sees right through them. Now, why do I say that? To scare us? Well, yes, in part, maybe some of you, so that you realize this is serious. Oh, no one will ever find out. Oh, yeah, they will. Yeah, they will. They certainly will. And we'll all know, every one of us. Wow, but I want everybody to know. That's embarrassing. And what do you mean, everybody? Well, then you have an out. What's my out? Receive Jesus Christ. See, here's the good news for the believer. The Bible says that when you give your life to Jesus Christ, everything you've ever done is erased and no one will ever know it. No one. You will not stand before the Lord as a believer in Jesus Christ for everyone to see all these things you did. It's like, you know, to be embarrassed. No, you're going to stand before the Lord as a believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, to simply receive reward. Now, that's the kind of way I want to stand. How about you? When I stand before the Lord, I don't want him saying, all right, roll them. No, what do you mean roll them? What do you mean, you know? Well, stop. Let's talk a minute. Can we negotiate? Can we make what? Roll them. I want to stand before the Lord and him say, you're clean. There's nothing. You're entering into the joy of the Lord. Your sins have all been washed away. Guys, the Bible says that's it. It's a done deal. You've got to understand. See, the Bible says that to save some by fear, the point is not to fear you and do it because you don't want everybody to find out. The point is that, listen, God knows and everyone else will know. Why not get it right now before that day that we stand before the Lord? I would much rather have it done and dealt with right now than to wait till that day and have everyone else find out. The Lord already knows. But have everybody else find out and me find out as well? Guys, this is intimidating, very intimidating. Everything will be revealed. Nothing will be covered. All will be exposed to see, and everybody's going to see it except those in Jesus Christ. And then the only thing they're going to say is, wow, you got in. Yeah, me too. Isn't this awesome? And that's nothing more than accepting as your Lord and Savior. Saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord, and I give my life to you. Notice verse 3, he goes on. He says, therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you've spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the housetops. Now, again, the Lord making a point. No secret will be kept secret. But also, there's a connotation to the words dark and light here. Dark has a connotation of evil. Light has a connotation of righteousness built into the word. What he's saying is, yes, literally, the secrets you thought were secret will be revealed. But also, not only will the secrets be revealed, but also, guys, the things that you've done that are evil are going to be brought to light. Again, this whole picture here of it's all going to be revealed. And notice this, what you've spoken in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the housetops. Now, you need some culture to get that one. Guys up on their housetops, they were flat. And they're still that way in Israel today. And so they would put patios up there. That would be your patio. You would go up there and you could put chairs. You'd sit out there. Some people even slept out there during the summer. It was a hangout spot. This would be like your back porch in Israel. Well, when you're up on the porch and the houses are all next to each other, you can imagine what would happen. Hey, Joe. Yeah, what's up? How you guys doing? Doing good. Well, you know, and you talk back and forth. So what would happen is that's how word would spread. You know, Ed could be five houses down. Say, like, hey, could you guys pass on down to Ed there? He wanted to be here at 6 o'clock when the meal started. Yeah, I'll let him know. You know, and everybody would just talk and travel messages back and forth across the rooftops. Here's the Lord's point. It's going to be just like all you guys on your rooftops, all you guys connected, seeing each other and just having an open conversation. That's what it's going to be like the day we stand before Christ. Everything's going to be open, nothing hidden, nothing secret, nothing revealed, or nothing unrevealed. And so again, the Lord making the point and really driving it home here as he gets into this. And like I said, rather intimidating if you don't know Christ, but again, it could be the thing that might drive you to Christ. Notice verse 4, and I say to you, my friends, and note this, my friends, again, speaking to those he knows that have ears to hear, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. And after have no more that they can do. Now, notice the Lord's point. He's saying, look, let's get this thing in focus. Here's the bottom line. My friends, those who have ears to hear, those here today who have ears to hear what the Lord is saying, what the Spirit is saying to you right now, what he's saying is this. Bottom line is, hey, let's get this thing in perspective. Let's get it in perspective and let's take the appropriate action in order to have it into perspective. And that is this. If you're being a hypocrite, you're probably just afraid of man. You need to lose the fear of men. Don't be afraid of men. They can only hurt your body. God is the one that controls your eternal soul and your eternal destiny. Let me say this. Yes, people can persecute our bodies. And guys, they can even put us to death. That's the worst that man can do to us is put us to death. But guys, realize this. They can't touch the soul. And number two, that's going to be the best day of our eternal life. Because the day this body stops ticking is the day we enter into eternity with the Lord in a reality we've never experienced before. So guys, it's something where the Lord says, you can't fear these guys. And I know he's talking to them right back here. The Sadducees and Pharisees still back there mad at Jesus, fussing at him, probably fighting among each other now. And the Lord's saying, look, you don't need to be afraid of these guys. Don't be intimidated because of the robe. Don't be intimidated because of the religious talk. Don't be intimidated because of the position. Your fear needs to be with God. That's where your fear alone has got to lie. And that's where your hope alone has got to lie. And so he gets them back in focus. He says, you know what? You're my friends. You need to be fearing the Lord. And you know, you've heard of having friends in high places. Guys, you've got the highest placed friend there is. And that is in the Lord. Why should we fear man? Why should we be afraid of what, as David said in the Psalms, why will I be afraid of what man can do to me? No, we need to be fearing God. That's the one that we're to fear. He says, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he is killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. He's like, look, number one, these guys can only hurt your body. God controls your eternal soul. And guys, the Bible says that every soul, that is every person in this room has a soul. You are an eternal being. Your body's temporary. But guess what? The part that makes you eternal, it's going to live forever. You will never stop. You never just end. There's never a time where you absolutely, saved or unsaved, you live forever, always, for all time. Now get that in mind. For the believer, that's exciting. For the unbeliever, again, that might be intimidating. Guys, you live forever. The question is not whether you live forever. The question is where? Now, I know there's the argument, well, hell's not real. Hell's figurative. Jesus is not speaking. He didn't say, you know, there's this figurative place called hell. Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid of man. But this example that represents evil called hell, this figurative symbolic thing, this allegory, that's what you need to be afraid of. Fear an allegory. Guys, I don't fear allegories. I fear the Lord. And understand when he says fear God, he's not talking about that cowering, somebody's going to whack me fear. He's talking about a respect. It means a respect and realizing that this is God Almighty and I have to deal with him not only now, but one day in the future I stand before him to give account of my life. And without Jesus Christ, I'm on my own. With Jesus Christ, it's all covered for me. Which place would you rather be? Which place would you rather stand? And so again, the Lord speaks of hell as a very literal place that our soul should be concerned about, that our eternal existence should be concerned about, that if we're not going to be with the Lord, that's the other place we're going to be. So guys, again, this whole reality check, I mean, the Lord's laying it out here pretty hot and heavy. He says, now he makes the point, he's going to drive it home about which one they should fear. Should they fear man or God? Notice the greatness of God and who really cares for you. Verse 6, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Guys, this is amazing. 5 sparrows for basically a couple of pennies. And no one is forgotten without God knowing it or God being aware of it. The word forgotten means neglected or uncared for. What it means is there is not a single sparrow that is neglected or uncared for by God. And every time one dies, God knows about it. Now, let me let you know something, guys. Listen, if you think that God shows that much care toward the animals and toward the sparrows, what do you think he's like toward you? Don't ever think that God has forgotten you. Don't ever think that you're not important to God, because indeed you are important to God and God cares greatly. He goes on. Notice this. What is the care God has for man? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Think about that for a minute. Do not fear, therefore, especially do not fear man, fear God. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Guys, care so intimate and detailed that he counted and numbered your hairs. And I thought about this week, you know, when one falls out, it's like, hey, that went number 523. I never thought about it that way. I kind of liked 523. You know, and then as you get older, 522 and 521 start dropping. And of course, we'd be silly about it. The older it gets, the easier it is for the Lord to count, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off. But guys, the point is this. Listen, the issue is not really how much hair you have or don't have. That's not the point the Lord's making. Here's the point the Lord's making. He is so intimately involved with your life, guys, that every little tiny hair that you have, he has counted. And those of you that have done very much study in the sciences of eyes and ears and body parts, when you get down to the detail under these huge microscopes that get so close and you see the detail that God has done. Guys, there's this little tiny, there's a bunch of little hairs deep inside your ear that are receptors for part of your hearing process. Little tiny hairs, little tiny, without microscopes, you can't see them. And on top of these little tiny hairs are these, I kid you not, I saw them just this last week by a microscope, not me, myself, but you know what I mean? Little spring on the end of them that when certain things need to happen for the sound to come in and out, those little spring pulls it up and lets it and then closes it. Unbelievable. It's amazing how these things just happened. It's almost like there's a designer, isn't it? It's almost like God did it all. Certainly, I jest. Of course he did. Guys, my point is this. These are just, God, he's showing them the big stuff. He's saying, God's got your hairs numbered. Hey, to God, that's like nothing. That's the big stuff. That's like counting your arms. To him, not two of them. Guys, when you begin to see the detail of your body, you begin to realize how great God is and the care that he has for you individually. He formed you with his fingers. He made you, the Bible says, while you were in the womb, the Lord formed you. Think about that. It's amazing. It's glorious. And so again, he's saying, look, don't fear man. They're not going to love you really like the way you'd even be loved. That is even those that do. And then the ones that hate you, they can kill the body, but they don't control your eternal soul. You need to be concerned with the God who has your eternal soul in place. And notice this, it gets a little scarier. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the Bible. Look at verse 8. Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will also confess before the angels of God. Here's that judgment day. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. Wow. Guys, get this. What the Lord is saying is if we publicly confess him, he will publicly confess us. If we publicly deny him, he will publicly deny us. That's intense. Now, some of you right now, you're going, oh, no, I've done that. That's it. I'm going to be denied. Y'all know what you're like. Relax. Peter did it too. He's not talking about a stumble. He's not talking about several stumbles. He's not talking about times when you should have been a witness and you weren't. I've done that. You've done that. He's talking about an attitude and a lifestyle of saying, I deny Jesus Christ as a Savior. I deny him to be my God. I want nothing to do with him. He's talking about that willful decision to reject Jesus Christ. And guys, as the Holy Spirit draws you to Jesus Christ, you have a choice to make. Do I want to give my life to the Lord or not? He says, you deny me, I will deny you on that day of judgment. You proclaim me, I will proclaim you on that day of judgment. And notice he goes on now. He says, and anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Now, some of you are also going, oh, no, I've probably done that. Relax. If you have a desire for Jesus Christ right now, if you feel God's Spirit pulling you at all toward him, you have not committed the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says that no one desires God on his own. It is only a work of the Spirit. Which means if God's Spirit is drawing you to him and you desire him, you have not committed the unforgivable sin. Well then, Mark, what is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? What is the unforgivable sin? Please, guys, listen. What is the Holy Spirit's job? His job is to draw you to Jesus Christ. Some of you, he's doing that too this morning. He's drawing you to Jesus Christ. That's his job. As a believer, he's drawing you closer. As an unbeliever, he's saying, you need to give your life to Christ. This morning, you need to do that. You need to make that commitment right now because that day's going to come. You're going to stand before me and you need to be ready for that day. I don't want you to be ashamed either. I want to say to you, enter into the kingdom, you know, enter into the joy of the Lord, good and faithful servant. That's his desire. But guys, if we reject the Holy Spirit's job of drawing us to the Lord until we die, come on, he's wooing us, come on. Come on in, he's wooing us. Come on, come on. And we say, no, I don't want that. At some point, he says, that's it. You've done it. You've insulted the Holy Spirit. His very purpose is to bring you to Christ. And you said, you know what? I want nothing to do with it. And at that point, there does come a line we can cross. I think even while we're still living, but for most people, after they die, it's now too late. They can no longer come to Christ because they've rejected and they've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. He's saying, you know, if you've talked against me, if you've talked against God, if you've talked against the Bible, that's forgiven. All that's flesh. You're a sinner. I expect that. He says, but if you reject the work of the Holy Spirit drawing you to Christ, that's going to be an eternal decision. Now, when they bring you to synagogues and magistrates, he goes on now, okay, well, I've got to be bold. I'm supposed to be public. He now gives them further instruction. When they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, don't worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you should say. Notice what he's saying here. The bottom line is, don't be anxious about it. You're to be a witness for me. I will give you the boldness when those opportunities. I will give you the words to say. You pray for boldness. And so what do? To be a witness, a public proclaimer of Jesus Christ, ask God to give you boldness. Lord, give me boldness. I want to do this. At the same time, Lord, what do I say? I don't know what to say. He says, relax. When I give you the opportunities, if you pray for boldness, I will give you the words to say. You simply step out and begin to say them, and then you'll see what I'll do in your life. Here's where we are. Here's where we end. Are you real today? Are you real? Really? No one really knows but you and the Lord. Guys, are you being a phony? Are you being a hypocrite? Hey, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're being a hypocrite. That's a surefire way you get nobody to do that. That's not what I'm saying. Guys, my point is this. Between you and the Lord today, take care of it. If you're not being real, if you're being a phony, if you're not being who you, listen, I'm not saying being perfect. I'm not saying whatever. I'm saying be real with the Lord. He knows the truth. Be real with him and throw the hypocrisy out the window. If you're being fake, it's probably just the fear of man. And so just say, God, remove this fear of man. I don't want to fear man. I want to only fear you. Man can do things to my body, but they can't hurt me eternally. And let's just get real with the Lord. No more games. Let's pray. Let's ask him to do it right now. Let's pray together. Father, that is our desire, Lord, is to be real with you. Lord, you've told us in your word that, Lord, you hate hypocrisy because it's not just being real. Lord, you've made us who we are. You've made us how we are, and that's okay. Help us just to be real before you. And I pray, God, for the believers this morning, if there's any here that are not being real, Lord, that they would just be real, that they would be real first with you. You know it anyway. But then they would begin to be real with each other. They would get right with their wife, right with their children, right with their husband, right with their friends, right with their boss. Lord, just throwing the pride out the window and just saying, you know what, here I am. And Lord, I need help. Help me. And God, I know that you will. You will give them the power by your Spirit. But Lord, I pray also that you'd remove from us the fear of man. God, any of us here maybe that are trying to be somebody we're not because we want people to like us or we want to fit in or we want to be whatever it is. Lord, let us lay it down and say, that's it. We only want to fear you. I'll be your friend. You said I was your friend. I'll take that friendship. And whether anyone else likes me or not, you will because you love me and you're my Lord and you will be my closest friend and I will share my deepest heart and feelings and secrets with you. Lord, in our hearts today, if there's any that would pray that prayer, let them pray it. But Lord, lastly, if there's any here today that are unbelievers and they have realized for the first time, they will stand before you one day and give an account. Nothing is hidden. Nothing is secret. Nothing will go unrevealed. Lord, all will be exposed on that day. Lord, let us deal with it now. Let us not wait until the day we stand before you in shame, but let us now pour our hearts out now, asking forgiveness, asking you in our heart, giving our life to you, asking forgiveness of our sin. And Lord, when we stand before you, the only thing we look forward to is a joyous day of receiving reward and hearing, enter into the joy of the Lord, good and faithful servant. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.